And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox Live.
The opinions expressed during this program do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its board, underwriters, volunteers, or members.
It's been a really powerful day. I've got Margaret in the studio with me. Say hi, Margaret.
Hi.
Hi.
Aloha.
Aloha. So she's helping me out. We're going to be hearing from her. We're going to actually be talking about a number of topics, and definitely a hot topic right now is the Bill 2491 meeting. I have been there. Honestly, I'm a little tired. I went down there late last night. Some people were there since 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon in the dumping rain, but we all slept there and got up. It was definitely a 24-hour period of pretty heavy commitment to the public process. I've got a caller. I'll take it. Aloha, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello, is this Felicia?
Yeah, and you're live on the radio.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just calling in regarding the issue with the smart meters that's
okay.
Going on.
Okay, we're going to cover that too. So you could tell us your name, or you don't have to tell us your name. Let me, we just came on the air, so I want to, well.
You can put me on hold
no,
if
no,
you like.
No, no, no. I'll just, like, let the listener know, like, among today, there are a number of really strong issues, and one of them is the smart meter, and I was looking at Christy Angelo's story that he put in the paper, I think, like, on Sunday, about the petition. There's a petition. Maybe you would... Are you calling about that? Would you like to share with the listeners what the story is on that, or do you have a story about it?
Actually, I have both.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been working with the petition, and we actually have lots and lots of signatures of people that are interested in not being charged the fee for going back to or keeping their analog meter, which is the one meter that has zero radiation.
That's electromagnetic field radiation?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yes, and because the smart meters, the new meters, do have a lot of radiation, and there's been 1,800 research studies now done to prove that, people are concerned, and also people are having a lot of symptoms who are near them or in neighborhoods where there are a lot of smart meters around, because the meters radiate quite a distance, surprisingly.
So let me bring the listener up to speed. If people
sure.
don't know what a smart meter is, that was the word that was going out, because smart sounds smart. There's a lot of wordplay that's going in there. I noticed that now they're calling them standard meters, and they're calling the previous kind of meters non-standard meters. So that's a little bit of the wordplay going on, but these smart meters, is that your radio? Can you turn it down if so?
Yes.
The smart meters, they tell the power company your energy use. What I see about every 2 minutes, they're saying 8 times a day, but it sends a pulse constantly to the power company. So that's the meter that we're speaking of.
Correct. Yes, yes. And I had a very interesting experience in my own home because I had opted out right from the beginning, and I had never gotten a smart meter because I know that radiation is not good for you, so I opted out. And my daughter and I had been traveling, and when we got back, the smart meter rollout had already happened, and we were successful in keeping our old meter. But when we got home, we had an experience that really surprised us, and that is that all of a sudden, for the first time in our home that we own, we weren't sleeping well. And I had, you know, passed it off to various different forms of stress. When we were on the mainland, I had all kinds of ideas in my mind of what could be causing this, but everybody, there were three of us living in our home, all of a sudden just couldn't sleep here. And somebody mentioned to me, oh, that's because you have so many smart meters right around you in the neighborhood and that it's affecting you. And I found that so hard to believe. That I actually got a hold of the equipment to measure, because I just didn't believe that their smart meters, which are, you know, from 50 to 200 feet away, could be affecting us. And sure enough, right on my bed, were incredibly high radiation readings. And I thought, well, maybe my analog meter is radiating a little. We went over to the box and we measured zero radiation coming off of our old meter. So we walked across the street and measured our neighbors, and the machine zoomed up to 900. And then we went back to my bedroom, which was still measuring around 400. And these are very, very high readings.
I can't remember the name of the units, what those are. Do you know 400 what? I think it's like micro. Do you remember?
You know, it's funny. I am really not the person to ask that. I was using equipment that was lent to me. I know it's state of the art, and I am not, unfortunately, the right person to answer the question about.
Okay, but what I want to also say and clarify for the listener, because a lot of times when we think radiation, we think Fukushima. Right, there's all different kinds of radiation. So the EMF radiation, the electromagnetic field radiation, from a transmitter like a cell phone or wireless internet or a cordless phone or these smart meters, they are basically microwaves. So that's the kind of radiation. It's like being near something that's emitting microwaves. That's how. Like radio waves are really long, microwaves are short. If you put them in enough condensed area, they can cook things.
Yes, exactly. And what's interesting is then it also gets into your electrical system and multiplies. And that was the other thing we were able to measure in my home that was just shocking to us, that we had what they call dirty energy. And in my kitchen, it went up to 1,400, which, again, is a very high reading. They like you to be, for health and safety, they like you to stay in about the 75 range. In other words, under 100, and we were at 1,400. And this is being caused by the neighbors. Smart meter. And so what I did is I actually talked to some of my neighbors to see if they were interested in possibly going back to the analog, so that, because we're all affecting each other's health, we're so close in our neighborhood. I'm in Kapahi. And many of my neighbors were interested in going back to the analog. The only problem is that it's been very difficult to do that with KIUC. Many of them have turned in forms requesting to go back to their analog, and they are being told that either that they don't have analogs anymore, they're being told that the analog is not a good meter, they're being told that they'll be charged to reinstall the analog, and there will be a monthly fee for having an analog meter. And all these people are doing is trying to protect the health of themselves and their family. And we're not getting cooperation from KIUC. It's really, really discouraging.
And then, you know, I've heard some stories like this, and Margaret, who's in here, actually is in here because of this issue. Maybe some others, too. But just for the listener, this petition that's out, there's a petition, it's a member petition to challenge the board action, because the board decided to do these charges. So it's called, the motion is for an approval of a non-standard meter setup charge and a non-standard meter monthly fee and authorization of KIUC staff to file revised tariffs for the PUC approval. And to me, that's so much wordsmithing when they start calling a regular meter a non-standard meter, and they avoid the word smart meter because they know there is actually international resistance to these meters. So we change the name, we call it non-standard, so what is a normal meter is now somehow sounding bad. So
Right, exactly. And a lot of areas in the world and in the U.S. Have already banned these meters. I lived for 30 years in Fairfield, Iowa, and I still have a place there. I actually called up to pay my electric bill there and found out that the electric company in Iowa, in fact, all of Iowa, is refusing these meters. And also in Ojai, California, they have banned these meters. I know there's some kind of a moratorium for research in Santa Cruz, California. I'm hearing that in Germany they are postponing for investigation the use of these. So more and more around the world, awareness is coming that the radiation is very strong, and there are already so many sources of radiation that our bodies have to deal with. Why have something that is radiating you while you sleep?
Hello, are you still there?
Hi, yes,
yeah,
I'm okay. Still here.
Okay.
I heard a beep.
Yeah, it was just that's just the phone system coming in. So, yeah,
sure.
There are all of these issues going around the world. So for people who are concerned about this, I want to give a few pieces of information. I think I'm looking at this petition that's in front of me. You can look at www.p2p, which is like Power to the People, Kauai.org, or www.planetoasis.org. There's also a Facebook page called P2P Kauai, which is Power to the People, Kauai. When I'm looking at this petition, something that kind of gets my ire up a little bit is it makes it difficult. What they're requiring is your name, your signature, your service address, your telephone number. All that's easy, but then you have to put your account number there. And not most people don't just easily remember their electric account number. And it also then excludes the opinion of anybody who doesn't have an account. So if they're a renter, if they're a family member where they're not the paying person, any kind of thing where they don't actually have their own account number, then their voice doesn't count. But I think that when I'm looking at this petition, they need to be signed. They need to get like 300 signatures that have an account number in the next 20 days. So that can be turned in prior to the Public Utilities Commission meeting that happens on November 4th. So that's just a little bit of information that is there. So did any of your neighbors manage to get their smart meters removed?
No, not one. And like I said, we were all told that there would be a fee if we applied to get our smart meters removed and exchanged after September 30th. All of my neighbors applied before September 30th. And none of them have received meters. Almost all of them were, you know, told all kinds of stories that they couldn't get their old meter. And I just wanted to mention that it is possible to buy an analog on the internet and install it yourself. They're not very expensive. So you actually can take matters into your own hands and get your old non-radiating analog installed and order it yourself.
I would like to encourage people to read the story that was printed in the paper on Sunday that you can pull up online too. That let me pull it back up in front of me. It was in the Garden Island, and it says, Petition Protest Meter Fees. And they did a very good job, the author did a very good job of revealing quite a lot of that story. And Jim Kelly, the public relations guy from KIUC, I couldn't really believe how strongly he actually revealed information in there. There's some disagreement, though, whether that they're going to be charging the amount, if it's going to be $80 or $50. But frankly, even if you have to pay for it, if you're sensitive, if your health is sensitive, I'd say, you know, that that's probably worth doing. I have another person holding about this same issue. Did you have any particular critical pieces? Or, I mean, maybe you can go and you can help them. Sometimes it takes, I was joking with Margaret, I called it the H word, people who might be white transplants that have either resources or a strong enough sense of entitlement that they can be socially aggressive enough to go in and bully till they get their own meter back. That seems to be what has to happen. And our local culture, I don't know if your neighbors are local, a lot of times they're local people, humble, patient. It's not their style to be difficult till they get what they want. And so it can, and so what happens, I see in this article here that about 3,000 people have not accepted these smart meters, and I bet that that tends to be either the very active or the semi-privileged. And so we end up having a disproportionate amount of impact on certain population groups.
Yeah, our neighborhood is completely local. And they are, they're my favorite people in the whole world. They're wonderful, easygoing, loving, laid-back, patient. And none of them have gotten their meters replaced. And I did actually go into KIUC and try to advocate for our neighborhood. And I actually afterwards got a threatening call. I was
from
met with,
whom?
They wouldn't identify themselves.
But they said they were from the power company?
They did not. Actually, I do not know where it came from. It was very interesting, but the woman was very upset with me, said that I was upsetting the neighborhood and that they didn't know what might happen to me if I didn't stop and mind my own business. And I said, look, I'm just worried. I'm just trying to inform people because I didn't like the readings I saw in my house. I'm a mother. I have a daughter. You know, we're concerned about this, and we wanted to share that. And whoever it was called from an unlisted number. I called my Verizon company, and they weren't able to identify who made the call. It was very mysterious. And while we were in KIUC, this very adorable elderly couple went up to the window after us. We were sitting on the sidelines, my daughter and I. And they were asking, they had seen Take Your Power Back, which is a movie that describes the situation with the smart meters, all the research, and they had seen it on TV on Hoike.
It's kind of scary, yeah, I saw it.
Kind of scary, and they went up to the window, and the woman said, there are no analogs, and then and that they'd better keep their smart meter, because no one knows yet, but the smart meters are actually better for you. And we just watched this poor old couple just get pushed all the way back, and their request, which was a reasonable one to get their meter back, was denied. So I'm very concerned by this, because we just can't get any action.
Well, thank you for sharing that story. I'm going to let the next person calling share their story.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Aloha, you're on the air.
Yes, aloha, ladies. Felicia and Margaret.
Yes.
My question is, since we live in this milieu of context of electromagnetic radiation all over the place, I was wondering if Margaret perhaps could speak to, you know, just place it in context, you know, because of all these, all the microwave pollution all around us. How does that figure, you know, the smart meters versus just the general electromagnetic radiation we get from cell phones and military and business all, you know, shooting through our bodies all the time?
This is Margaret.
Hi, Margaret.
And that's not my area of expertise. I'm here to speak about the seniors and the problems that I have experienced that the people who are over 65 are having in understanding all the words and the meanings.
I see.
So I'll pass it back.
Yeah, well, I just, I live in a public housing place, and I was thinking about this elderly gentleman about 75 years of age, and he lives on the end of our particular building complex where all the meters are located. So I was thinking,
oh, wow.
Boy, this gentleman is really going to be fried, you know?
Absolutely, and he probably doesn't have the ability within himself to try to pass it through and get an analog meter.
He can't even read.
Yeah, that's one of the problems.
Local man, he can't even read. So, you know, the thing is, like, I'm just concerned about some of our elderly people in the apartment complex who are definitely, you know, getting their health worsened. But thanks for your work, ladies.
You're welcome. Yeah, and sometimes seniors are more vulnerable, especially if they have heart issues.
Well, I've never been impressed with KIUC when it started, when the fact that they overpaid $50 million from Citizens Utilities of Vermont. So I just wonder just about just the way this whole hooey that got their cookies together to buy, you know, and develop this co-op for us. I don't think it's really for us. I think it's just for the people and all my dealings with the KUC. Like one day I was walking to Lahui and the guys before they were proposing a rate increase, and the linesman said, "Oh, make sure you pressure the people to raise the rates. I mean, we need the money." I'm like, "Give me a break! You people are just really crooks." I mean,
yeah.
I hate to, you know, to mince my words, but thank you for your good work.
Okay, thank you. And we have another caller. Okay. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just calling, touching in with the smart meter stuff.
Okay.
I became super proactive in the beginning when I heard about the smart meters. I thought it was, you know, good so that I could get a lower bill. And then once I started finding out what they really were, I went to KIUC to tell them I didn't want it. And that was when, in the beginning, when they told you didn't have a choice. So then I started fighting with them from then, and I haven't allowed them to put a meter on. But I forget what the gentleman's name was. He took them to court, in First Circuit Court. And the judge made a decision in June 1st, I think, around then, saying that they cannot slap a meter on without your permission.
That might be Adam Asquith.
Does that
sound right?
Him. In that judgment, the judge said they need to cease and desist putting them on in that that court hearing. And I know they've put on, I know they've put meters on since that ruling. So if anyone has those meters put on after that June 1st part, they should actually go and take KIUC back to court and sue the crap out of them, because they totally blatantly disregarded the court order.
And what was your primary reason for not wanting it?
Along with the health and privacy issue, I just didn't like the fact that, you know, eventually they can start profiling what you're doing when you're home, everything about your living stuff. I didn't want the health issues, because it's, you know, you got two sides. Their side of telling you it's completely safe, and you have independent people telling you it's not, and there's no middle ground. So until they really find out if it's safe or not, then I didn't want it.
Right.
And then eventually they'll be able to, you know, charge like how they do in the mainland and start increasing the rates and charging peak hours and times, because they'll have all that locked down.
Right. And I think the thing for me, and what we will go on to later in the show, is talking about implied consent. Mm-hmm. Unless you fight something really hard, it is essentially they've implied that you've given the consent. And I know as a consumer and a co-op member of KIUC, I wasn't asked if I wanted this. I have managed to not have one, and that's worked for me. But it can be really rather aggressive. So you don't have one, and so that's good. Have you signed this petition that can...
I can't believe they even want to charge to have it removed if you hit a certain date or whatever and you change your mind that they want to charge. I think that's ridiculous. If somebody took that back to the First Circuit Court where Adam had gone to, I think the judge would look at them and say that's ridiculous, because the judge told them that they cannot threaten for people's on the privacy issue, and told them he never wanted to see them back in the court over something like that. And they didn't even go through court all the way because they knew they would lose. They pulled out with prejudice.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, I got pissed off with them because when I went in, I was just telling them I didn't want it. When they told me I didn't have a choice, I was like, what? That's...
Right, yeah. And so that's, like, today what's going on really strong right now down at the county building is people giving pushback. Like, why don't we have a choice? Why weren't we asked what they're going to do to the land? Why aren't we asked if they're going to put a cell tower in our neighborhood? Why aren't we asked? Why don't we get some consultation on these health issues?
Or have a say. You know, like, when I went to a couple of meetings, and in the meetings they were saying, oh, well, you know, they're safe. You know, you have a beaming monitor. It's not, it's not dangerous like that, or your cell phone and stuff like that. And I raised my hand. I said, you know what, you may have a point there, but the fact remains is that is the individual's choice in their own home to choose what they're using. You guys are giving nobody a choice and just slapping it on.
That's right. And
there's a big difference between those examples that they were giving, you know?
Well, and in, like, with the first caller, mm-hmm. I was hearing all this stuff. I get people who are active on it asking me, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's probably not that bad. So I did a walk with them, and I had them go around my house, and there's some truth in what those other people saying. I don't know about a baby monitor, but certainly a cordless phone or a wireless unit, or especially when people have iPhones, they give out an incredible amount of IMF radiation. Maybe it's all bad for us. And
it's probably not healthy.
It's not healthy. And with the...
You're the one making the choice.
You're making the choice, unless you have, like, a cell tower next to you. But true. There's all kinds of efforts that you can take. And after I had her go through my house, well, I got a corded phone. I don't put my cell phone next to my head hardly ever. I have an old-style phone, and I fought the 4G cell tower they were trying to put across the street from me. I have more people holding. Do you have a final thought?
No. Thanks for holding the show. I like this show.
So okay, thank you so much for listening and calling in.
Right on. Thanks.
All right, and you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia Margaretson here with me, and this is Kauai Soapbox Live.
The Board of Directors of the Kekahu Foundation, the governing body of KKCR, is holding its quarterly business meeting Wednesday, October 16th at 6:30 p.m. at the All Saints Church in Kapa'a. All interested parties are welcome to attend. For more information, call KKCR at 826-7774. Mahalo.
Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi, Felicia. Is this me?
It is.
All right. Hey, I caught the beginning, and then I had to take a phone call and I missed some, but now I'm back, and it's in regards to the smart meter. And I just wanted to share with your listeners something in my experience and some advice when you're going to KUC to ask to get your meter taken off. I deferred my meter a year ago when this issue first came up, because when I heard, oh, what's a smart meter, I jumped online. It didn't take me long to figure out at all back then that it probably wasn't a good idea, and I don't want that on my house until I know better or more. And so I deferred, and I had a digital meter, the kind where they go around once a month and do the little reading from the road. And I thought, well, that's probably not so bad. But now as this issue is kind of carrying on, I'm understanding that even those meters aren't so great. And furthermore, I just don't like KIUC's way of operating with us on this issue. There's no transparency. There's the bullying. So I said, wow, if I can have that meter removed and get a non-RF emitting analog meter, good old-fashioned that doesn't cost you any electricity to run it at all, I'm doing that. Because I didn't want my house to be used as a bounce signal either with the digital meter, which is potential for them to use in the future. So I just want out of the whole business of smart meters. So they, at first I got analog meters aren't reliable. This is what the person on the phone. And I said, well, could you give me, please email me the data about that. And then we carried on conversing, and I said I want it anyway. And she's like, well, it's not that the smart meters aren't reliable. It's that the meter readers aren't reliable. And I thought, you know, we've had that simple technology for a very long time, and there are solutions to, if it's misread the next month, it'll be rectified because you'll read it, and you've either overpaid or underpaid. But anyway, it was a ridiculous argument to try to talk me out of an analog meter, and I wasn't going to have it. So I went in with my form, which I had printed online from the planetoasis.org site, and which said, or stamped on it, that I wanted a non-RF emitting meter. And they said, you can't use that form because you've altered. That's not our form. Even though it was their form with just a little PDF section added onto it. So I said, fine, give me your form. And I wrote the same language at the top of my form. And I said, is that going to work? And they said, sure, okay. So, and I had them date stamp it that I got in there before September 30th. Well, back and forth. So I've been in conversation with Jim Kelly via email and with the PUC via email, because what he told me is, you shouldn't tell people that they can still get their smart meters replaced for free, because they said after September 30th, you'd be charged $81. The PUC, Public Utility Commission, never gave them permission, ever, to charge that fee. So they proposed it, but they never got the okay. And so they were told, no, you can't charge that fee. And they never told the public that, though. And then out comes an article on October 3rd where they say, well, it totally didn't mention that the $81, you know, threat was completely unfounded. And then they say, well, we're proposing to the PUC that we can charge this 50-something fee and $10 a month fee. And I contacted them. I said, well, they're not making that decision until November 4th. People should be able to come in and still get their meter switched out for free. No, no, Jim Kelly says, it's going to be a retroactive fee. And so when they put in, so I contacted PUC, and I got the complete transmittal from PIUC, what they're proposing. And there is language in there that says, to anyone switching their meters out from September 30th, will be paying these fees, $50 plus $10 a month. So I contacted PUC and said, excuse me, but is it even legal to retroactively charge the membership something that was never permitted in the first place? We're not even talking about a fee change. It was a fee, period. So their answer back to me, the most recent answer back, was KIUC is seeking these fees prospectively. All right. So I don't know why they can't just say, no, they're not going to be able to do it, which prospectively means on November 4th, whatever the PUC decides, and they could decide not to approve those fees just like they did before. They could say, okay, you can charge us $50 fee. But how they can go back and charge that to somebody who requested that and had their date stamp form on, you know, on October 15th, I don't see how KUC is going to be able to charge you that.
I think unless people are really forceful, it sounds like you have been diligent, and you are going to continue to be diligent because you haven't gotten your thing replaced yet, right?
Oh, I did. They came out. They said it's going to take us. Well, here's the other thing. There's just so much dishonesty. You know, we don't have them in stock. They're in the warehouse, and they have to be the old ones retrofitted. Now, they came and in 2 seconds plopped on a brand new, good old-fashioned but brand new analog meter. My understanding is everybody that's gotten an analog little dial meter, nobody has an old retrofitted one, which means KIUC probably took those old analog meters, sold them off for scrap, or they're sitting somewhere. And now they're buying analog meters, which costs nothing compared to a $400 smart meter. So the whole kind of, you know, shell game with them becomes exhausting. But here's what it is. Membership has rights. And I don't know how, and I put this to the PUC, how can you tell 3,000 people or more now who've switched out their meters that you can have it for free? And because you weren't on top of it, and because you weren't at the beginning of this learning curve, you're going to have to pay $50. It's like punishing you for not doing your diligence fast enough, soon enough, smart enough.
I want to use the word coercion.
Oh, I'm with that. And it's downright, you know, kind of bully behavior. I've heard people say, you know, a friend of mine told me that Jim Kelly actually, like, raised his voice. She had to hold her hand receiver out from her ear. Here's a mom just trying to get an analog. This is months and months ago before the whole thing came up again. Just trying to get an analog meter for her electricity. And he's yelling at her. This is the PR guy on the phone. It's just unconscionable. And so what it takes is for people to go, you know, huff and puff and threaten you're going to blow my house down, but huff and puff is what it is. So walk in there with your form. And I recommend if you walk in there with a form off Planet Oasis, it says, I want a non-RF emitting analog meter, that if they say that form's no good, say, fine, give me your form. I'll write it on the top. I don't want any grief. I want you to take this, and I want you to date stamp this. Or you could send it certified mail. But either way, you know, return receipt. Either way, do it as, you know, legally as you can, that they have to be held accountable to it. So they can't say, oh, no, we didn't get it, or whatever, which I used to tell people. You just have to hold them to it, because they're going to kick and scream and fight because there's an agenda to put this on. And highly likely, they bid into a grant, took it on, and now they're running into, oh, crud, maybe we're not going to be able to meet, and this is my own crackpot theory, maybe, but maybe we're not going to be able to meet the expectations of this grant, and oh my gosh, are we going to have to pay back money, and oh my gosh, we didn't expect these people to be so awake and aware, and oh my gosh, you mean the industry told us they were safe and they're not? Well, we need to ignore that, because we took on this grant. We took $5 million, you know, and so I'm sure there's a lot of reasons why they are fighting this so hard that none of us are ever going to know about.
Well, so, if you go and you see some of these films, or you zoom the lens back, there are, you can trace it. It's, you go down the rabbit hole, and there are reasons why this was rolled out across the planet. This was rolled out in all the developed world. It's all going in a pretty quick amount. I see that Margaret, she brought all these little cards with good notes on it that she's been looking at all this time. Margaret, do you have a response to what the caller is saying?
I think that the best thing she could do is maybe look at getting a group of people to sign the PUC form so that there is a voice going to the PUC.
The PUC petition?
Petition.
Well, listen now. No, now be careful, because it's not a PUC petition. The petition is petitioning KIUC to have a special meeting to listen to the membership to not charge you fees. I want to say something. You know, the PUC, when I read the document that was the transmittal that KIUC set over to the PUC actually responded to their first request for the $81 charge, saying, you know, not accepting it. But it's not because the PUC is all, you know, hugs and kisses and benevolence. They actually recommended, and I'm sure KIUC jumped for joy when they say, we support you in collecting, you know, fees because you're having to do something like drive around in trucks and read people's meters. That wasn't like KIUC's first brainchild. That was the PUC saying, we support you in collecting fees. And that's because the Public Utilities Commission is just as driven by the smart meter agenda as KIUC is. So we can't think that the PUC is going to be the knight in shining armor to save us. But we can put pressure on them to let them know that this membership on Kauai is not going to sit down and take it. And that if it takes a class action lawsuit, if it takes more legal, well, there's already precedence with Adam Asquith's success in court a year ago. So I think the PUC needs to hear from people, not just Golden KIUC, but letting the PUC know, however you want to, email, certified letter, that the people of Kauai are not going to accept this. And there's so many mathematical shenanigans going on with this. Okay, I say, if you want to charge me $10 a month for running my meter, which costs nothing to KIUC to run it because it's analog, right? It's mechanical.
Was to read your meter. Uh-huh.
Well, come out and read it, which they always did before anyway. Whether the guy had to, you know, click the little button from the street or get out at my house and do it, somebody was still driving around doing that. But, mind you, that meter you slap on my house is $400, and I didn't get one. So I'd like the credit for that $400 applied to my bill. And then in 5 years or 8 years when you have to replace those smart meters, is the grant going to show up to fund that? And are you going to give me another $400 or $500 credit because my good old analog meter that's still ticking away doesn't need to be replaced with anything? Mind you, they can't even be more than $30, I imagine.
I want to give the listener, if they feel like writing a letter to the PUC, the Public Utilities Commission, that expresses an opinion on this, it would go to Hawaii, H-A-W-A-I-I, PUC, like Public Utilities Commission, at hawaii.gov. So they could write a simple letter saying that they don't support this choice.
that's right. And they will, what they have said is that they receive that and they forward your protest, I called it in my case, to KIUC as well. So KIUC will get those, and it's the PUC's consumer, I don't think it's advocacy, I don't know if they have the right word, but it's like the consumer affairs division. So the PUC is basically shuffling that off to the consumer affairs division of the Public Utilities Commission and saying, well, you guys look at this. So, you know, we have to be really aware that the whole, you know, all involved, everybody needs to be awake of who's playing their part. KIUC has this grant, the smart meter program. The PUC is, you know, not against it and, frankly, probably for it because they really didn't support Adam during his process a year ago or Mark Naea or other people who were trying to get the PUC to make a decision overall for KIUC, and they didn't do it. So it ended up in a court of law in which the right to privacy was proven that smart meters are an invasion of privacy. And that information now has just even more exploded than from a year ago. So no excuse for people not to know what's going on. If you choose not to get involved, that's one thing, but there's so much information out there now. And it's quite accessible. So the DVD, the documentary Take Back Your Power is hugely informative. Anybody who can get their hands on it or go to one of the showings, I highly recommend it.
I think there's one in Kalaheo coming up really soon. I don't have the list of the days. I do want to say there's another film that I really liked. It was called Resonance, Beings of Frequency. And I learned a whole lot on that. And that, you know, kind of poses it in context of more than just the smart meter. It's really understanding the possibilities of what might be coming with exposure to the EMF. You are super informative. This seems like a lot of people are stacking up on this issue.
Yeah.
I have more calls waiting.
I will let you go. Thank you for covering this. And now I'm going into the county building.
Yes, yes. And I'm kind of watching that on my computer here, not listening to it, but seeing what's going on. We're going to be at the top of the hour. We're going to shift a bit and be talking more about that. But these two issues actually really do braid together. So,
And I want people to know that tomorrow I'll be at the Sunshine Market.
What's your name?
This is Kathleen.
Yes, Kathleen.
And if anybody wants to sign that petition and you are the person on your bill and you have your account number, just jot it down and bring it to the Sunshine Market with you.
Which Sunshine? The Kapaa one?
Yeah, the Kapaa Sunshine Market by the tennis courts there. I'm going to be there, and you'll see me with my clipboard. Somehow people knew within 5 minutes. What are you having signed there last? So it wasn't hard to get signatures. The challenge is getting the numbers and calling people back, and we really want to get these numbers over 350, actually, in case KIUC kicks out some of the names or we don't get all the account numbers. So if you come to the Sunshine Market in Kapaa and you want to sign this petition, I'd really appreciate it if you could just write down and stick it in your pocket the account number on your bill, and that way when you sign on, you can just sign your account number and I won't have to track you down later.
And I want to point out that asking for that account number is really another bully tactic. I basically like KIUC, but I don't like this side of them.
Yeah.
And when they demand that, you know, you can go in and pay your bill. You can show up without your account number, and you just have to tell them your name and your address, and they'll take your money.
Yeah, it's obstructive. So.
It's obstructive. And so that lowers their accountability. I have another caller waiting.
Yeah, I'll let you go.
Okay.
Thanks, Alicia. Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha. Thank you so much for holding.
Thank you. Is it me?
Yes.
Yeah, I really am admiring all the effort in catching the people and holding them in their accountable, hopefully. But what I see here is a really good atmosphere for a whole new cooperative to be formed because of the displeasing attitudes of the people that should be serving the co-op instead of another dictatorship. You know? So I think all the, they're just really having everybody do all this energy and serving their own purpose but it could be better energy spent just to go ahead and just say, okay, guys, you're out, and reform a business that serves the people. And maybe everybody could have, excuse me, could have a voice, because I'm concerned about what they do and what type of business they do with my friends and family here. And I have a voice, I feel, but they seem not to feel that. So that's not very democratic or American, for that matter. So I think these people should rethink what they're doing.
Yeah, and you know, really paying attention to the board of directors. Typically, very few people vote that have the opportunity to vote on that. So that is another way of really turning it around, and it was structured for that. So thank you so much for calling in.
Okay, vote against them by investing in solar on your own and get off the grid and quit paying these guys to lord it over you. Get your freedom back.
Well, you know what? That's an excellent point.
Yes.
People, and that's their fear, and it should be their fear, is that point source power is really the new paradigm. And they really actually are very worried about that. So I would think...
Tied into NSA, perhaps?
Oh, it is.
People?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
we
so
know
what?
That.
This is who's the power? Are they sold it to Spain, like the people who count your votes, people? You know, the voting machines and the computers were made in Spain, and those are the people that count the votes before we even know the statistics.
Right, but like when I don't believe that KIUC folks really understand how the metadata is intended to be sold and how it is extracted and sold. And so it flows in with all this Edward Snowden stuff where, you know, he was revealing.
Right.
All,
well,
all
if they're listening, then they should be held accountable, right? Come on. Wake up, people.
Okay.
This is each other. Us,
thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha. I want to hear from our wave riders real quick. And then, Margaret, I'm going to give you a few minutes to really have your turn, because I know you did a lot of work to come to this show, and we've just had one call after another. Great calls. But
great calls.
Great calls. So our wave riders are coming up.
Kekani o Kauai nei, the sound of Kauai. KKCR's Fall Fun Drive starts Friday, November 1st. We invite you to join the Sound of Kauai by becoming a Wave Rider. For a $150 donation, your message will be aired over 90 times during our 10-day membership drive. In addition to great exposure and supporting Kauai Community Radio, your business or organization will also receive a 3-month link on KKCR's homepage. Wave Rider forms are available at kkcr.org or phone 826-7774. Get your message on the air and be a part of the Sound of Kauai. Kekani o Kauai nei, November 1st through 10th. Support Kauai Community Radio.
Okay, Margaret, your turn. Let's. This is Felicia, Kauai Soapbox Live. I want to hear, you've done some research. Please share with us about what you've found on smart meters.
Well, one of the things that I have found is that in talking with the seniors, and that's what I'm concerned about being over 75, that this is an area and a group that is not being heard from. And many of them are really not aware of the process that's needed or are turned away, like you've heard tonight, trying to get an answer or turn in a paper. And I think that nomenclature is really a problem. When I grew up, somebody who was smart was intelligent, and the opposite was somebody who was dumb. And then later, smarts became a word for ouch, something that was hurting. And I think maybe we could look at the smart meters as being something that may be hurting our senior population because of their more delicate physical condition. Yesterday, I was at a doctor's office, and the lady sitting next to me and I started talking. I asked her if she knew about the smart meter, and she said no. She'd heard the words, but was not aware. She's a professional who is over 65, and she rents, so she does not pay the bill because it's part of her income. Go to the people who own her building. So therefore, she is not getting information. the owner of the property is, and that person is making a decision either not to have a smart meter or to have a smart meter, and there has not been any communication with the renter. So that's a real major thing, because we have a lot of senior communities or low-income communities, and the seniors, this senior was concerned about the fee, not just the initial fee to change now, but the $10 a month, which would be $120 a year, and that's a lot of money if you are on a fixed income. Most of the residents that I have talked with do not know even where to find their account number on their bills, and some of them have problems with eyesight and finding the little print on their bills. So that's another issue. And you also heard somebody who was elderly, and they may not have totally understand all of what they're hearing, because these are new words. Analog is certainly not a word that was in the dictionary at the time that we were growing up. And these seniors may need to get permission from the owners, and because of the culture here, people are more reticent to ask their owner of the property if they would allow them to have the type of meter that they were on.
Well, people of any age that are renters that I've spoken to who were worried about their smart meter, they're afraid to make humbug because they're afraid they get kicked out.
Oh, absolutely. You don't want to just have your rent increased or be told no. And they're really reluctant to ask any questions. Another thing that happens that I have observed, when we had a problem in Kilauea, when there was a problem with the water, they announced it one time at 10 p.m. that there was a problem, and it was also in the newspaper. If you were not listening to the news or were not reading the newspaper that day, you would not know that you shouldn't be drinking the water. And I think that the seniors are not many times aware. If they go to bed early, they're not watching the 10 o'clock news, and they may not be reading the newspaper. So they may not have any contact, because they wouldn't have gotten a bill or a notification. And so often the people throw away the bills and don't keep a copy of their account numbers, because they're not paying huge amounts of taxes. So they're not looking for write-offs. And there was a lady who said that she had a difficult time finding the building. When I called in to have a change, I was given directions that it was behind Home Depot, and behind Home Depot is the Costco Gas Company, the Cancer Center, and an automobile agency. A nursery. And so it's very difficult to find this building. And the sign is pretty small, and you're not looking as you're driving by for something that is as small as it is. And even finding how to get into the driveway is a difficult time. So I think our seniors are being left out of the circle and may not be responding and making the request that they would if they went to KICUC. And I saw people asking questions when I went in, and their answers being put off.
Well, I think something, and I don't consider myself a senior yet, but you know, so many of these companies want you to go online and use your password and then go look and navigate through to find a certain special page to get your opt-out form, or, you know, how to change your coding. And my sons, even they give me a hard time when they hear me get frustrated with sitting on hold forever. They'll say, "Oh, Mom, you know what? This is, you know, not the old days. Nobody answers the phone anymore. People don't use the phone. You just need to use your computer and don't even call them." And that is a real big generational shift. I sort of resent sometimes having to go through some of the phone issues. And I think put another generation older than that, and it's probably powerfully difficult.
Absolutely. And many of our people, English is not their first language, and trying to translate some of the statements on that form that went around would be very difficult because they may not be in the a standard small dictionary. And then when you call in and you have a problem with hearing and they're talking really fast and not listening to what somebody is saying, it's even more difficult and people are more ready to give up. What it looks like is maybe what we need to do to reach these people is contact an agency dealing with the seniors, our RSVP, Retired Citizens Volunteer Program, and have some meeting for just for the seniors so that they can ask questions that they might not ask with a group of people who are technically more up to date than a senior who doesn't even have a computer.
And is there an organization like AARP, or is there a senior organization here that might be a good one to assist with creating that?
I think that there probably is, and I would be willing to look it up and call them and find out if we couldn't do this. AARP is open, and there are some other agencies.
If you do that, make sure you call me and that we will promote that, and it could actually go on a public service announcement on KKCR, community radio. There is no charge, and we can place it in the time slots that typically are hitting that. Very often that would be the morning music programs, the Hawaiian music programs. And speaking of which, you are hearing KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia on Kauai Soapbox Live. Margaret's in here helping me discuss different things, among which is the smart meters. We're going to talk a little bit about identity issues, and we are also going to be speaking about Bill 2491. So, Kauai Soapbox Live is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Anahola Stringed Instruments, Aya's Garden Supply, Al Pastor, and Stars and Flowers.
You are listening to KKCR Hanalei, AQA Kilauea, K284AL, Haleiwa.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. You guys really, really make a big difference in helping us have an excellent show. We do have a caller. Aloha, you are on the air.
I wanted to make the point that regarding this petition, that it really doesn't make any sense to be considering charging people who would like to keep their non-radiating analog meter. And the reason is because the supposed logic for this is to pay the men to go around to read those meters. However, our bills have always had that charge structured into the bill. And when the smart meters were rolled out, we didn't get a discount for the fact that now men were not having to walk around and read the meters. So then why would it be, I mean, we're already paying for that fee.
Well, I think what their argument is if they had 3 meter readers or 6 meter readers, I think they had 6, and they're going around to 30,000 accounts, they have a full-time. And let's just pretend that they have a meter reader for the east side of the island where there is 200 meters. You know, they're saying that they would still be paying that guy the full amount of time. I think that they've basically readapted all those meter readers into different job positions, but it might be maybe Monday mornings or something that they go and do an area. I agree with you that they are extrapolating the numbers when they take those people's salary and put it the whole way out. You know, so it's just not fitting into their plan.
Yes, it just seems like, you know, always our bill covered all of these meter readers before. And yes, maybe they've recycled them into, I don't know, managing the smart meters. But their whole point of wanting to charge a fee for having an analog is supposedly because they no longer should need to pay meter readers. But the fact is that fee was already in our bill. Is that making sense?
Yeah. And, I mean, I think, like, too, when I look at it and I go $10, I mean, that's like a burrito.
Right.
So I think, and how we'll segue in our conversation here is, it's bigger than the $10. At least for me,
yeah.
It's bigger than the $10. If, like, really, the $10, even though I don't have a lot of money, that's kind of humbug in a way. Like I said, that's going out and get a burrito or something like that. And it's the fact that they just decide and they don't ask. They didn't ask us if we wanted smart meters. In fact, we told them, hey, you know what? We don't.
Yeah.
And they ignored it. And that there are layers upon layers in our community that we can't even blame our government necessarily. Like, blame the individuals in the county. We're all asleep at the wheel, right? How do you know what you don't know? How do you know that they're doing the Telecommunications Act of 1996 or this Farmers Assurance Provision, also known as the Monsanto Protection Act? They sneak it in so the people who vote for it don't even know that they voted for it. So we've got these things happening at a national level, and the really big thing going on right now, hope you're okay that I'm segueing on this, but
of
like
course.
There's the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I don't know if you're familiar with that. That is this really massive trade agreement that's like NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, but this one's being done completely in secret. So, like, this week, John Kerry is out there ready to sign it. Now, we have a government shutdown. You can't go to the parks. Maybe you can't get your Social Security card so you can get your driver's license. They inconvenience the person, but they have the money to pay the Senate and the House. They have the money to fly the Secretary of State out to basically sell off our rights with these to the global corporations. The Trans-Pacific Partnership is so dark. And WikiLeaks has been one of the pieces that's been leaking some of that. That's a huge issue. We've done some stories on it. But this is all like implied consent. And people who are standing up for themselves on these issues, they're treated like humbugs. They're treated like they're troublemakers. We are raised and conditioned to be so compliant and obedient. And if we don't do the right thing, we're, you know, creating community disruptions. We get a lot of difficulties. You're a woman. Have you replaced your driver's license yet?
Oh, what a problem. I was born at a little bitty hospital that was attached to a larger hospital, but it had a different name. And I contacted Texas, Dallas, and found out who I was supposed to send the information to. They wrote back that the hospital no longer existed and that I didn't exist because the hospital didn't exist. So I had to go to Austin, and I sent it out to my fellow high school students, and I got 12 different messages back, horror stories of trying to get a birth certificate, so with not the one with your feet on it, a little, but or the name of the hospital, but one that is stamped with the official seal.
It's more than the official seal. It's our number, our commodity
number
that
yeah,
the government
right.
owns. They own us by that commodity number and our name that is in these all caps letters. We are a commodity that is leveraged on the debt of, and most people don't know that, and they'll go, oh, you know, you're out there. But the more of us are learning, it's pretty gnarly. This is like our government
infringing upon it. Well, it infringes upon our rights.
I want to call it a UPC symbol because I was a retailer. Yeah. It's like our scannable number, and now it's on my driver's license. I got two bar scans on there. I got my Hawaii driver's license number, and now I got my citizen number that is on the new driver's license. But how long did it take you to get your driver's license?
Over 3 months.
And caller?
Many trips.
Caller, have you gotten your driver's license renewed yet?
No, actually, I'm just about to.
Have you ever been married?
Yes.
Do you know that you need to bring your marriage certificate?
No, I did not.
Like, I didn't know that. And they don't tell you. And I even wrote my legislature and asked. And he said, oh, you know, and they say, oh, we give you all these rules and you can just read the sign and you know. But you know what? I looked and it's not on there. They don't tell you you need that. But you do need that. So you need to make sure and try and get that. Do you have yours?
Yes, I think I have it somewhere.
Well, find it, because you need to find your birth certificate, and you need to find your marriage certificate. And some people who have been married several times, or if they were married, God forbid, 65 years ago, even to the same guy, you have to find that marriage certificate that exists, that the government says is legitimate. And if you can't find your string, guess what? You don't get your driver's license.
And many times they're asking for the divorce papers, proving if somebody was married and then divorced, and then they have to go back and get all of those papers. And that is a real trial, particularly for
older
people who the hospital may not are, who were born at home, and sometimes the records weren't kept.
And so when we're talking about wordsmithing, like changing the word smart meter, because everybody knows they don't want it, so they call it now a standard meter. Standard since when? Like 6 months ago? And so with these birth certificates and things like that, they're saying, well, if you want the privilege of travel. So somehow now we have moved from the right to travel to the privilege of travel. And they say that if you want the privilege of travel, you have to prove who you are. And it's just like in Hawaii, I'm jumping, thank you for letting me free associate, they go from crown lands to ceded lands, two very different names for the same piece of, one says it belongs to the crown, the next one says, oh, okay, they gave it up. Then they changed that to being called public lands, and last year they redefined it as lands. So just by changing the name, they have essentially said these lands that really were set up as Hawaiian lands for when the occupation was over, it belongs to the Hawaiians, now it's just land. It doesn't even belong to the public. So they play these games, and you can tell I went through an ordeal trying to get my driver's license. At least I did get it. But for women, it's a much bigger game to play. It's really hard. If guys have ever changed their name, then they're going to have to figure that one out too. But
and if you have your Social Security card from when you were single, then you have to go and get a Social Security card with your married name on it.
Right, and that is right now those guys are on, you know, the government shutdown. So it can take 4, 5, 6 months. Some people just simply can't get a new driver's license.
Well, what are they going to do? Just not drive?
That's right.
Walk?
They could take the bus. But you know what? You have a hard time going in and getting other things that you need to show ID for. You know, services. We're really playing an unfair game. And what happens is these laws get put into place, and they're going to put on these big legislative documents, and nobody's knowing about it. And people fought the National ID Act really hard, and that's, so what they did is they gave up. They said, okay, we won't do it. But then they slid it in on the driver's license. So we're seeing patterns of this. And
also, for the age, for if you're over a certain age, you have to go in every 2 years, and that's not common statewide. From states to states, sometimes it's like every 10 years or every 5 years, but every 2 years here.
Right, and it maybe I mean to be kind, but maybe sometimes there's validity in making that choice. But when you have this whole big paper trail, then that's not so easy. You know, so it's tough. Like, if somebody's 87, maybe by the time they're 89, they shouldn't be driving. I don't know.
More accidents.
More accidents.
But the level of control, doesn't it smack of communism? As the controls increase and all the individuals more and more feel that their rights are not being allowed, just basic human rights are being infringed upon from every direction. Pretty soon, what is the difference? Where is the free country?
Well, that's really the huge case in point, and whether that is how our fields, you know, can be used for large-scale agriculture, and we don't even have even the tiny right to know what's being sprayed. You know, we have all these little, like, we're being treated like we're radicals when we're just being reasonably cautious. It's reasonably cautious. And I'm going to promote for a second. People, many people are going down to the court, I mean, the county building now, and they have been all day, but they're looking to have through the evening, and really probably no matter what side of the issue you're on, the numbers are growing. It's becoming a very big party down there at the county building, and I'm probably both sides very hopeful for what is going to outcome on this. I'll go into detail on it a little bit later. But so do you have, I got other people holding too. Thank you for calling in. Do you have any final thought you would like to be sharing?
Well, I just thought it was interesting. I recently saw some of the pay ranges of some of the KIUC officials. $300,000 a year. The pay is very, very high for these people that are running KIUC, even locally. And these are, you know, obtainable figures. And it's just interesting. This whole financial thing is very confusing, you know, where the money is going. And, I just think that there's a lot of need for all of us as individuals to become fully involved in what's going on and really to inform ourselves and really know what the research is, what are the effects of different things, so that we know how to protect ourselves from excess radiation, from genetically modified organisms, which have proven to be very dangerous and cause so many problems beneath them.
Pharmaceuticals, the list is almost endless. Even have things like, I went to a workshop on education. It was a great one. It was in Oregon. I was gone for a week. And just these were people from the public school system. They're talking about the industry of testing. It's a billion-dollar industry, and they have all these lobbyists trying to get more and more testing underway. And so the outcome is the destruction of the classroom and the teacher's ability to teach with freedom. But it really comes down to publicly traded industry trying to grow. So you need more and more testing. And the end result isn't always the direction that they want.
Well, my final word is I'd like to see us get back a little bit closer to nature, because that's what's really worked for us in the past. And I think we're getting so far ahead of ourselves with a lot of these newer technologies like GMO and smart meters, and we really don't know what we're doing. And I think we need to just slow down a little bit, stay a little bit closer to nature, and just really be on solid ground before we move ahead with these things.
Yes.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Aloha, you're on the air. Thank you so much for holding. Are you there? Hello? I might have lost him. Call back. Yeah, so lots of different issues. I see that the county council is currently in recess. Do you have something to say?
The other thing, people were talking about health, and again, from the senior viewpoint, many things, many of the symptoms that people are experiencing, both with the GMO and with the smart meters, are very hard to pinpoint exactly the moment that it started. And then you see doctors saying, well, you know, after all, you are over 75 or you are over 65, what do you expect? And I think that some of the seniors don't realize that these are related.
Yeah, and they're blaming, you know, chronic issues, like just on your age. And, you know, I mean, that happens at an earlier age, too. And it's inconclusive evidence, so that's how they get away
with
it. Okay, we have another caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hey, hello.
Hi.
All right, I just turned on the radio. Yeah. And I just it's a very little, but.
Okay, we have a weak connection. Try and say your main point.
I'm in Kapaa. This is Kanipa. Hello?
Yes, Connie?
Yeah, can you? Okay. Yeah, so, you know, I just wanted to comment about this situation with these GMOs, you know? What's amazing is that why does this big industry needs to put chemicals into our corn and agriculture? You know, it's just sad that the state of Hawaii legislatures allow this to happen, and now the burden is on the county council and the county.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of councils are being threatened by the public based on the to make the right decision when it unfolded from the state legislatures that put this problem in our ballpark that's being deliberated today by the county.
Yep.
You know? And I'm not against people working to sustain financial for their families, but when you get this big industry trying to now and gather all of this local people that needs the job, that gotta feed their families, and say that, well, if you pass the bill, then we're gonna lose a lot of workers. It's just sad that how they try to make the money off of this rope, this really pristine land and really pristine soil, just to make money and feed cattle that is in, I would call it like, they're in a stadium with, like a Coliseum stadium that the corn just goes in there and the cattle don't even go in the field. And they threaten that people would not have jobs because they cannot use toxic chemicals. Crazy, isn't it?
Well, yeah, especially when they're not even going that far. They're saying people won't have jobs if we have to tell you what toxic chemicals we're using. They're not even being constrained. They're saying just tell the truth. So that's where it really breaks down for me.
No, I understand your point, but in reality, put yourself in my position. If I was the guy issuing all of this big money, you know, and dealing with all this corporation, we got to find someplace that some stick is so hard that we're going to make it hard for the council, or we're going to start to manipulate the council on why they shouldn't support the bill, because these people will not have jobs. But if we really look at the outcome, I want to go past the council. If the state has failed to represent the constituents of the state of Hawaii by knowingly that this has to deal with toxic chemicals, and the state just, you know how it goes, they give the papers two hours before the hearing, and they don't even read the bill, and that's it. It's been going on for years.
Yep.
Now, what's the motive behind the state if the agricultural land is totally polluted because they messed up, we changed the legislatures because they made bad decisions, put in new ones. What's the outcome of the soil? The soil becomes toxic. They can no longer grow agriculture. They're going to move the agriculture, how would I say? The lands are created for ag. It's no longer they can plant ag because it's toxic, it's ruined, so they're going to open them up to develop. This is their tactic. And I don't know if people see it, but if you get the land all toxic and the soil is already ruined and it cannot provide for the needs of the people, what's the next step? Development. Has
right.
anybody thought of that?
Well, yeah, we you're right. And I would have to say that it is really encouraging today being down watching the event there, because There are so many engaged people. And, you know, I think in sitting in the room all day watching the council, they, and the mayor's in there too, by the way, they are being swayed by the testimony of the people. It is not a done deal yet. When the days began, I thought, okay, they're going to defer this. They're going to kick the can back to the state, which is pretty much giving it to the GMO companies, the biotech. But I'm not so sure, you know. It might work.
So instead of threatening to sue the county, this big industry should sue the state because they have failed to represent the people based on violations of toxic chemicals. So if I was a council member, the number one thing that I really learned through all my research and my history of knowing who we are and how Hawaii has become to where it is, a manipulation and monopoly.
How?
How many of the council members, how many of the county attorneys, how many of the attorney general attorneys of the state legislatures ever read the United States Constitution? How many ever studied the U.S. Constitution?
I would have to reckon they have, because it's a short document. It's a little thin document. Like, I have one in my purse.
Well, I can tell you this. If they have read the U.S. Constitution, then if I was a council member, I would be filing a suit against the state of Hawaii based from a county council member of the county of Kauai for violating policy under the federal statutes.
I agree, and I think
but
it's
they're so afraid to do this.
Yeah.
They are afraid. So now, what I'm sharing is, I'm sorry to sound like a mouse, but I guess.
Well, it's okay, but we have a bad connection, so if you can make your point quickly, because I think I understand what it is and it's a good one, so put it out there clearly, and but we have a bad connection, so.
Okay, sorry. But my point I'm making here, people, is we can threaten to not elect these people to the next election, but you need to understand Hawaii's machine, and the Hawaii machine is not run by the white American is run by the Orientals, which is a lot of Japanese, and you see them all in office. And what I'm trying to get is that you need to start thinking, who are you going to elect at the state legislatures and not the council, including who's the governor? Because Abercrombie doesn't care about our community. He will care about the United States bringing in all these big billion-dollar industries. You look at today. A lot of these land homes are not from Hawaiians from here or locals from here. It's all people from the mainland. You know, so
that's right.
The monopoly situation that's going on in a lot of countries that, look, Mexico just had banned GMO. If they can do it, Mexico just shut it down just the other day. They passed it where Mexico can no longer, nobody can ever grow GMO in Mexico. Now, it's setting a precedent. And I just want to commend all the people that are standing up for this. Whether you're Hawaiian, Chinese, Portuguese, Filipino, Caucasian, no matter what it is, an American, no matter what it is, the point here is that our kids are being fed toxic chemicals, and they don't even have the opportunity to know what is on the label. And that's the point here, is that we're trying to get them. And I believe that.
Absolutely.
And the problem is, I can't see how the council, going back to really understanding the U.S. Constitution. Because if you as a councilman could understand the U.S. Constitution, you could put the county attorney on check. But if they do not really dissect the Constitution, this is where we hit, in my opinion. And your opinion is not good enough when it comes to chemicals and toxins that is being put out towards the community and our young youth. So I just want to vent a little on that. And I just want to appreciate you guys allowing this discussion. And all I got to say is that council just passed the bill.
What?
And the record's still going to have one job. I can't see why you need these chemicals to grow, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I hope that they find a better pathway. Thank you so much, Keikani.
Thank you so much. You guys have a great Kauai non-toxic conversation.
Okay. Aloha.
Aloha.
And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox Live, and Margaret's in here helping me. Aloha, thank you for holding. You're on the air. Oops, are you there?
One thing to say, but then after the last caller, I had another thought.
Okay, what's on your mind?
Well, Felicia, you kind of schooled me a little bit the last time I called in about the legislation or the legislators and the county council people and the higher-ups and, you know, whatnot. But, you know, when we vote for these people to support us, I always see these things on, you know, Facebook and everything about impeach, you know, this president or that president. It's pretty much every president's going to get impeached. But what if our county council people aren't holding up to their promises? Weren't there county council people that were holding up or that said that they were, you know, for regulating the GMOs and then they went against it? Is there a thing that to get rid of them, or is it just like after you get the county council person, then that's theirs, and if they're getting bribes or change their mind, then yeah, it's all whatever. Who cares?
Well, I mean, we don't have a way to impeach the governor, and that is a bill that keeps resurfacing and resurfacing. And I'm not even sure if we have one on the senators and the House of Representatives. I don't believe for the House or for the county council people that there is, partly because the election happens every 2 years. And so the process of impeachment is probably of a length that, you know, their office would expire that quickly. If they were elected, you know, maybe it takes them 6 months to really make a mistake. And then already
they can do a lot of damage in the 2 years.
Oh, they can do a whole lot of damage. And there's definitely a big issue right now about the governor. People are very, very unhappy with the governor. But that would be something to look at the county charter. I don't have it right in front of me. The county charter.
Yeah, I was just curious if you had a quick answer for it. You know,
I failed you on that one. Sorry.
No, you're all right. You're all good. Hey, my other thing was, is the reason I called in was about the caller before about the marriage license and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find it really curious that, you know, when you go get your driver's license, they take your thumbprint, right?
It goes to the NSA. They take more than your thumbprint. They take your index fingers, too. It's your trigger fingers.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay, great. Well, then why do you need ID to get a driver's license?
The reason why they do all that, it's your biometric. It's there's actually an RFID tracking device. It's kind of dark, in my opinion.
The RFID tracking device.
These national ID cards.
I have an RFID in my passport, and I can't use my passport to get a driver's license. I lost my driver's license. And I lost my whole wallet with my social security card
right,
in it, you
right,
know?
Right.
And so now I have I have my fingerprints and, you know, which they have taken before, and I've got my passport, which is, you know,
there's a goal towards
internationally. It's valid ID. I could be hung just because I have fingerprints.
Right.
You know? And,
well, they
can't give me a driver's license.
I would have to
kind
say
of retarded.
That their goal is not to make your life easier. Their goal is to know what you're doing and where you are. I mean, we have become suspects, right, with the Patriot Act. I mean, they frisk us.
Yeah, the
you
Patriot
do an
Act
age
is ridiculous.
It is really something that protects the government from the American people. So thank you for calling. Do you have any other things? I have more people holding.
No, I don't. I just wanted to say that you have a lot of things to talk about. You have a big plate.
I've been jumping all over today.
I couldn't imagine what you have to deal with at night when you go to sleep trying to think about your next show because, You're so dynamic. You're absolutely wonderful, and I love you, and I thank you very much for putting up such a wonderful show.
I'm so honored. There are so many things that are going on out there, and today, and spending the night out there freezing, by the way. I was freezing on the bench and on the, above the steps into the county building. All kinds of people sleeping out there in the pouring rain. You know, you kind of sit there and think about, what are we going through? And I know that the county staff is trying to do a good job, but they have all the police officers there, and really kind of how much they allowed one person at a time to go to the bathroom. And then when we're going in, like with our little straps, and only letting two people go in at a time, and everybody's numbered. I know that they're trying to do somehow the right thing, but we're being treated like something less than children. I mean, it's cattle. It just doesn't feel totally respectful. And I actually like the staff there, but there's a foundational understanding of that we're somebody to be managed.
Well, and that goes on a whole other point. You know, I mean, with the conspiracy theorists and everything, and I have read and watched a lot of videos, and, you know, I understand a lot of what people are saying about the conspiracy of the government really trying to take over our society and you know, being vigilant about it, you know, not trying to do it passively. And that's kind of one of the things, is that, you know, they're subjecting us to inconveniences a little more than they were the day before, and a little more the next day than they were that day.
Right. And they're
trying to get you to subject yourself and say, hey, you know what, oh, this is normal. It's kind of George Orwell's kind of thing. We just step it up a little bit.
It's definitely that way, and then the young don't even worry about it. Like, I have still not gone through one of those naked scanners. And when I go through the hassle of being,
Naked scanner? What's that?
You know, when you go through the TSA thing and you got to put your arms up at the airport, they basically look at your unit, everything. You're like naked in front of them.
I haven't left the island in like 8 years.
Well, when you go through that, they basically see all your soft tissue. You know, you're basically standing in front of them naked. And if you opt out of going through that, like right now we still have an opt out, then you get a pat down, you get frisked. And I'm not even putting the people down that do that, but when I sit there and I'm being frisked and I watch like 90% of the plane just surrender their power and walk through basically naked, I think, where's everybody's self-respect? You know, why? It's not even about being naked, it's about surrendering your power. They never asked us if they could do that. They just did it.
And that's all about the Patriot Act, is what you were saying before. The Patriot Act was redefined the weekend before they voted on it on Monday. Kucinich was saying it's still warm. It's a 900-page document.
That was
and
not
I haven't
read.
Even had a chance to read it. Mm-hmm. And now it's Monday, and we have to do it. And I have no idea what kind of things are in here.
And who,
so they passed it, because it's the Patriot Act. If we don't pass it, we're not patriots.
Patriots, right. It's all in the wordsmithing. But when that happened, who writes those? Aren't even the senators. And these are done with think tanks that are done already. The things are written.
It's more than the president. It's more than the senators. It's more than the congressmen. It's the people who actually control the country. And they do it phenomenally well. You know, I mean, they're very efficient.
And it's not a theory. It's not a theory.
No, it's not.
It's not a theory.
It's guaranteed that they run what we do. Everything that they do, they have an excuse for, and they will dumb us down with Fox News and CNN and all this stuff, and brainwash people to make us believe that. If you watch, have you ever seen that movie? Oh, what is it? The Dictator. Have you seen that movie, The Dictator, with that same guy? He has a speech at the very end of the movie, and please YouTube it. He has a speech at the very end of the movie of why being a dictator is better than democracy. And he says, you can, and whatever, just watch that.
And it
is so funny, and it is so dead on nuts about what America does to American people. And it was just a comedy skit, but he is right. And it's absolutely correct. We use our media to make us believe that we're getting something that will benefit us when really it will actually hurt us. We will vote for things that will kill our economy.
And surrender our power. Over and over and over we do that. And I'm just got these other people holding. I'm loving what you're sharing.
I'm so sorry everybody. And I love you, Felicia. And have a wonderful night. I look forward to listening to the rest of your show.
Okay, thank you so much.
Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you for holding.
Oh, hey, my pleasure. It's quite enjoying to listen to what you guys are talking about. I wanted to kind of bring the conversation back home a little bit to KIUC again and talk about this petition and the signature gathering that's going on.
Okay, and are you at the county council meeting still?
No, I was there earlier today, okay. But I came home and I wanted to listen to KKCR.
Okay, all right, so say what you want to say about the petition, and thank you for working on it.
Oh, well, thank you. I just want to make sure that while people's attention is on KIUC for a minute, that they understand that they can actually do something. You talk about surrendering your power or taking your power back. This is an opportunity. This petition gathering is an opportunity for us to really force KIUC to understand what we're talking about and to compel them to take back this unfair surcharge that they tried to institute on people.
Yes. I mean, it is exactly that. It's like, I think anywhere we give pushback and don't just yield, it helps all of us everywhere. Everybody who doesn't just surrender right as they're going through what's happening to them from the NSA or the TSA or any of these pieces, or when you make them actually have to ask, like this petition requires them to actually have to ask the people. That's their job to do it.
Right, and that's what's so beautiful about it, is it requires them. This isn't one of those situations where we're trying to gain enough signatures to get their attention or to ask them to change their minds or anything at all like that. We have, these are bylaws from the charter of the cooperative, and if we get 250-plus valid signatures and it compels them, it forces them, it doesn't give them a choice, we have to put it to the whole membership, and that's what a healthy, thriving cooperative is all about. So I'm real excited about that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure people understand that and that they understand what they can do.
Jonathan Jay, I appreciate how much you have worked over the years to keep the cooperative becoming more and more of a cooperative, and you actually really make a difference in that way. One person can make a difference, and there's a number of people doing that. So you help the power company to be, or the power cooperative to be more Pono. And you know, people could make a collective decision that says, all right, yeah, we want to do the $10 a month. And I did have another caller who said, you know what, for some people on a fixed income, that's a lot of money. And I agree that it can.
I think so. It adds up because it never stops. It's month after month after month till forever.
That's right. And then it might be $10 right now, but then it becomes $15, it becomes $20. It's one of those fees that you can't really control. And so there's that growth in it. But every time we exercise our rights, we gain a lot in every other area, because they start to think, hey, well, maybe we better ask, or we're going to go through a big fight, going to be a big humbug, it's going to be embarrassing. So
right.
If they start to change their patterns and their habits, whether they are corporations or governments or just bullies, calling it out and helping them to make better decisions is a good pattern.
Right. So really quick, I just want to let people know that if they want to get a copy of the petition to gather signatures, they can go online to p2pkauai.org. That's one place on the web where they can go and download, and it's right at the top of the page, on the landing page, download the petition, sign it, and then mail it off to me. My address is right on the form itself. And so this is a way where we can really force KIC to be the co-op that we all want them to be.
Okay, well, so P2P, Power to People, with the two, numeral two,
right,
P2PKOI.
Right, and that's not the only thing. You can get the same form online at planetoasis.org.
Yes.
So people have options and choices about where they want to go. But I just want to make sure that people understand that if we do this, then we force KIUC to ask the entire membership the question, which is really what they should have done in the first place.
Right.
And so we're even though they don't like it, we're helping them become a better co-op.
That's right. Okay, Jonathan. Thank
right,
you
thank
so
you.
Much.
Thank you.
And
great
Jazz.
Show. Keep it up.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Aloha.
Aloha. Jazz with John is coming up. We are going to hear the county council report real quick, and then I have another caller who's being very patient.
Aloha. I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's the county council report for the week of October 14th. It's another busy week for the council, and here are some highlights from their meetings and agendas. All meetings will be in the council chambers. There will be a special council meeting on Tuesday, October 15th at 9 a.m. It is a continuation for the council's October 8th meeting. At this meeting, council member Yuka Mura requests the public release of the county attorney's opinion relating to a request for legal opinion relating to whether the council can establish laws banning the use of atrazine. Council Vice Chair Nakamura is requesting consideration for the public release of the final county attorney written legal review opinion regarding proposed draft bill number 2491. The Economic Development, Sustainability, Agricultural, Food, Energy, and Intergovernmental Relations Committee has approved as amended a bill relating to pesticides and GM organisms. This is Bill 1491. They also will consider a resolution to implement an environmental and public health impact study via formation of a pesticide and genetic engineering joint fact-finding group. That's a JFFG. Bills for the second reading include Bill 2491, Draft 1, to amend the county code by adding a new article relating to pesticides and genetically modified organisms. The same committee recommended approval of the bill as amended. There will be an executive session not open to the public, and subjects include legal opinions on Bill number 2491 and banning the use of atrazine. There will be a special council meeting at 8:30 a.m. on Wednesday. The purpose is to interview Dorothy Beckard for the Board of Review. There will be a council committee meeting at 9 a.m. on Wednesday. At this meeting, the Planning Committee will consider a bill on the zoning ordinance related to shoreline setback. The Economic Development, Sustainability, Agriculture, Food, Energy, and Intergovernmental Relations Committee has a request from Mel Raposo, Hawaii State Association of Counties President, for council consideration of a bill relating to helmets to be included in the 2014 HSAC legislative package. Committee Chair Hoosier requests time for presentations from Alan Kersowitz, PhD, Senior Scientist, Urban Program, Natural Resources Defense Council, on how to maximize waste diversion to extend the life of the existing landfill. The Finance and Economic Development, Tourism, Visitor Industry, Small Business Development, Sports and Recreation Development, Other Economic Development Areas Committee has on their agenda two bills related to the county budget. Finally, Council Vice Chair Nakamura requests agenda time to brief the Council on information relating to Kauai's visitor industry priorities and visitor-related expenses. The Committee of the Whole has on their agenda a bill related to charges and fees. For more information, visit the county's website at www.kauai.gov. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
So, gosh, it's an understatement to say that the county council has a very, very busy week. When I'm off the air, I'm going back down there because this is such a big deal of what's happening. So, high volume driving day for me. We have a caller. Thank you so much for being so patient.
No problem. It's me again. I wanted to call in again, touching on the GMO. But first off, though, thank you, Jonathan and Jay. I voted for that guy, and I'm glad and I'm hoping he's going to be able to change what's going on inside their administration and corruption and KIUC to make it better for everybody else. But just a quick touch on the GMO stuff. I find it quite ridiculous that they are holding like a gun to all their workers' heads that they'll lose their job if this bill is passed. And where are these companies going to go, you know? As far as like all these other countries, they don't want them in there. And as far as in the mainland U.S., I mean, they don't have the type of weather that they have here. I highly doubt they'll pick up and go, and I've even heard people that work for them say that they're not going anywhere.
Well,
regardless.
I mean, if I can concur with you on that, like Dow Chemical, they just built a really big new facility. So did Syngenta. You know, they're putting in a lot of investment, and you don't put in millions of dollars of investment and then go, eh, nah. I mean, I really do think that there's the potential for them to adapt. I know a lot of people would like to see them just go away. I think the adaptation I'd like to see them do is grow Pono crops, you know, just change, right? Why not? Why not? I mean, I can hold out for the best hope. It can be unrealistic, but that is the hope that I'm holding out for.
Yeah, I think it's just applying their side, and it's interesting what the other guy said. You know, the ground is so contaminated with all their stuff. What can you really grow? I mean, other than weeds.
Hemp. I mean, hemp. You could grow hemp.
That'd be great if the U.S. would just legalize it.
Well, in Hawaii, we did legalize testing of hemp. That has been legalized, and I think that, you know, they could start to experiment. You know, I want to say I took my students. I run an education program, and we did go out to Dow AgriSciences a week before last. Mm-hmm. And they gave us a really heartfelt presentation. There was like five or six of their lead people actually spent about 3 hours with us. And it was interesting. I don't think it changed any of the children's minds. In fact, I know it didn't. But it was still a good exchange, and I do believe that most of them believe what they're doing is good. That's where the big divide is. I don't think that they're all horrible people. They believe that they're doing a good thing, and we see the science very differently. And I hope that as they get more and more of the right information, that they work to help shift their home company. That's my perhaps unrealistically positive hope, but that is my hope.
You know, I had a coworker that kind of pointed out a kind of interesting point with how the 2491 is going against mainly biotech companies. But, you know, across the island, it's almost not fair. You know, when you got these big golf courses that are right by the ocean using probably not the greatest fertilizers and chemicals as well. And, you know, there's almost an I'm not fair to make it across the board for the whole island that everybody needs to be up in par. I mean, all the biotech companies, they're doing way more gnarly than the golf courses, but he had an interesting point on that fact.
Can I express a fear?
Sure.
I haven't been flying very much, but I went to go visit my darling son, who's a freshman in college, and so I was flying in last Saturday. I used to fly all the time, and I was looking out the window, and there was all these, like, brown, sort of oily, foamy streaks, like, big, serious. They looked like they were stretched for miles. I'd never seen something like that before. Looking out the plane window, it made me feel really nervous and sad. We were coming up more south than normal. We kind of came up right by Kipu, mm-hmm. and came to land. And so as I was getting off the plane, I asked the pilot. So I have to say, I was on Go Airline, and he looked like he wasn't much more than 30. So I don't know how long he could have been flying the route. But he said, oh, that happens all the time. That's an algae bloom. So I was like, oh, okay. But I did ask a few different people at the event today, and they said that often when you get that brown foam, that actually is representative of some death. I want to try and get a hold of Carl Berg. I left a message with Don Heacock, you know, people who work in the industry. I want to know what that is, mm-hmm. because is that something that has anything to do with the runoff? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know, but it would be nice to know that. I didn't see it anywhere around Oahu, and I was looking at the water really heavily there trying to find the molasses spill, which I did not find.
Mm-hmm. And then one last point with the county council, you know, I feel they're obligated to do that. And I'm glad a couple of attorneys have stepped in and said that legally they have the justification to do that, which I think they do. They have
defined that again, because I had interrupted you. They have the justification to do what?
To make a decision on the 2491.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, you know, and their main goal is to protect the people of Kauai, and
or maybe
by not doing so and being manipulated, bought out, or just hiding in fear.
Well, it might be leveraged. Maybe they, you know, there's a lot of different words we can use for what they may be going through?
Well, hopefully there's a common ground that can be achieved, that, you know, people don't lose their jobs, and yet our public doesn't get overwhelmed by all this poison either, you know.
Are you going down there this evening?
Drove by a couple times, honked my horn, but I gotta take care of my kinkies right now.
Okay.
I gotta pick up my daughter from Hula. But yeah, just touching on this show, I really like the show. Everybody can come and express their views, you know, and I sympathize with the people down there, because this island doesn't have that much job opportunities, you know.
Yeah, it's a very huge. Big choice. Uh-huh. Very big.
And it's easy for somebody that doesn't work for them, who has a different job, to say, oh, shut it down. There's got to hopefully be a common ground meeting point.
That's right. But we have to recognize that we're not even saying shut it down, even if that's what some people feel. They're saying,
That's actually what the company is saying they're going to have to do.
Yeah, but people aren't saying that. That's a manipulation, that we're saying shut it down. What's being said with this bill is, tell us what you're spraying. And that's a very big difference.
Yeah.
So thank you for calling. I have one last person I'm going to let go on the air before Jazz with John comes on.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay. Mahalo.
Bye.
Aloha. Thank you for holding. You are my last caller, and you just got about a minute and a half.
All right. Well, my main question was, I was just curious for all the mahi'ai that just got off work.
Okay.
How late it was going on.
Okay.
Run down there and form a rally, because we all need to go rally right now.
Yeah, like when you say mahi'ai or farmer, like I know both sides of this issue feel like they are farmers. So, I mean, it might be like, you know, I'm not sure which side of the issue you're on, but I would respect with either side. And,
anti-GMO.
You are anti-GMO. You're on support that... the 2491 bill. I see that the discussion, because I have in silence, the image of it is up. Anybody can be watching it, by the way. If you go to kauai.gov and then you click on county council meeting, you can look.
How can we, like, rally people in this last minute to get down there and recreate the Mana March?
Well, like this, you want
going on for like 3 more hours?
Why don't you invite them right now? Like you can say, come on down. Are you there yourself?
No, I'm just Kahana right now.
Well, I'm driving down. And so it'll probably take me an hour to get there, but I'm on my way as soon as I'm off the air. And there is a lot of soul expression going on out there. Today was a powerful day. It was a huge day in what people were feeling and seeing, and really actually on both sides, though the vast majority of the people in the room, like 90% of them, are red shirts. The blue shirts didn't get in this time. So
I'm gonna start go down to the highway.
All right, I will see you there.
All right, aloha.
Aloha. And listeners, thank you so much for listening to Kauai Soapbox Live on KKCR, Hanalei K-A-Q-A, Kilauea, and we really appreciate all the aloha from our underwriters and our supporter listeners. Mahalo.